Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting.
I love that. Listen, it's one take always, yeah, baby. One take always.
It is. You always know. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. Yeah. We're done. Drop the mic.
Hey, everybody, this is Ellen.
And Anissa.
And this is
Anissa and Ellen Raw.
How are you? You even look great with your new glasses.
So that is like the funniest story ever. So literally the day that I turned 40, I had to like move my hand away.
On
my 40th birthday. It was so shitty. And then, you know, you just, okay, so you move it. Then you get to the point where the hand doesn't reach far enough. So then I go to like my dollar store readers, right? So I've been wearing my dollar store readers just to read. And it was getting to the point where I was having to wear them almost for everything. And something was not right because I was getting, you know, you get the headaches. But I actually thought I had so much, I felt like there was a vice on my head. And I thought that I had like some sinus, which I do have a sinus, but I thought it was from that. So I go finally, you know, now I have insurance.
Yes.
So yes, with the new job. So I go to get my, I go finally to get my eyes checked. And the, you know, the gal's doing all the clicky, clicky, clicky with the, you know, the big thing on your face.
And did you ever like, I'm never really quite sure which one is better, A or B. I'm like, they both look about the same.
So let me tell you what, I actually in the past would have been like, oh God, I feel so bad. I'm making him wait while I actually look to see. No, this time, hell no. I was taking my time. I was like, neither one is better. And she's like clicking through all of these. So finally it's like literally heaven opens.
Whoa. I know.
And I could see so clearly. And she goes, do you just feel like you just had like the biggest relief and exhale? I said, you have no idea. Like I literally felt that in my body. And she's like, you know, do you feel like you have a vice on your head some days? And I was like, yes. I thought it was sinuses. She goes, no, girl. And then she says that this was the craziest part. So she's like, well, you know how you wore glasses for that? You said you wore glasses in fifth grade for a little while. I'm like, yeah, just I had headaches. I wore them. Then it seemed like it was better. I stopped wearing them. She said, well, you've actually needed glasses probably since that time because you have astigmatism. Yeah. And when I got my prescription filled, which that was a funny story too, but the lady there was so helpful and so nice. She goes, ugh, this prescription? This is not just getting old. You have needed glasses your whole life. And I didn't have them. And I was FaceTiming with Rob trying on. I had like the entire Costco counter lined with glasses and he wasn't with me and I've never worn them.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. Well, you picked good frames. They look awesome.
Well, he helped me because I was FaceTiming him going, what do you think of this pair? No. What do you think of this pair? No, those are way too big for your small face. I mean, all this stuff.
Well, you know, and so I know that Anissa wears readers and so she's like, yes, you know, I've got insurance. I'm going to go get my eyes checked. I really think I need to wear. And, you know, I have these visions of her like driving on 400 at 9 p.m., barely able to see the car in front of her. And I'm like, oh, my God, holy shit. She's like, I'll never get in the car with her until she gets those glasses.
Yeah, I mean, and there is no, it was no joke. I really, really, and now that I have them, like, I was staring at Rob. We were having the day we went pick him up. We were having lunch afterwards and I'm just staring at him and he's like, what are you doing? I said, I actually can see where you end and the space beyond you begins. And I've never seen that. Mm-hmm. Everything has always been kind of meshed. So it's really neat, like actually seeing where the space starts.
Yeah.
It's neat.
Well,
so,
good.
Yeah, so I can freaking see.
No longer blind.
Oh, no joke. I know. That happened to Dylan, though. My oldest son, he was around in the fifth grade, and we were actually at a Hawks game. Mm-hmm. And he kept asking me what the score was. And I was getting pissed, quite frankly, because I kept telling him. And he's like, Mom, what's the score? I'm like, Dylan, it's on the freaking Jumbotron thing right in front of you. He goes, I can't see that, Mom. And I was
You're
like,
such a terrible mother.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, you can't see
Brian
that.
Brian's shaking his head agreeing.
He goes, no, I can't see that, Mom. So we take him to get his eyes checked. And we went to Walmart, to the Walmart Vision Center. And when he got his glasses, he was like, after he got him and he got contacts, actually. He didn't want glasses. And so he had his contacts in and he's literally walking through the aisles in Walmart going, roll back, $2.97, roll, pointing to all of these things and reading. And it, you know what? I get it because it's so odd when you can't, you don't realize that there's something wrong with you.
Right.
Until things get better. And that actually segues
into what we're going to talk about,
into kind of what we're going to talk about tonight, which, God, it's so cool how that kind of happened.
I know.
But we're going to talk a little bit about this whole idea in wellness or fitness or weight loss or whatever you want to call it with something's wrong with you. It's a billion-dollar industry built on let me fix you.
Mm-hmm.
And
that you have to, in order to be healthy, healthy in all caps, you have to fix something on you or within you. You have to lose weight or you have to build muscle or you have to be able to do the splits or you have to learn how to meditate or...
Or you have to max out at a certain weight with your...
Right, or you have to only eat vegetables, that kind of thing.
Right, or, you know, you can't possibly have a shitty mindset day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to be on the top. Everything has to be perfect. And since when?
Exactly.
And why?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about me that losing 10 pounds, if that was something that I felt like I needed to do or whatever, what is it about that that is going to make me more whole, more me than I already am? And I think that that's such a huge problem because I don't think that you can make positive change in your life if you view yourself from a position of I'm not okay.
Right.
I don't think that it means that you bury your head in the sand if you're diabetic, type 2 diabetes, or you bury your head in the sand if you have a substance abuse problem, or that you can't have goals or things that you're wanting to achieve. But I don't think that that means that you have to be fixed.
No, and it also, I think one of the main reasons why Anissa and I started talking about this as being a topic is that I've seen recently several posts where some fitness, health and fitness professionals have claimed, hey, yes, we want you to be you and we want you to be healthy. However, that doesn't mean that you need to be fat, you know, or that you need to, you know, not challenge yourself physically, you know, just doing the 30-minute walk a day, do something more. And so I was telling Anissa about it. I had seen a post about that, and it was, I don't know that was maybe the whole intent behind the way the post was, but the verbiage that was written was very off-putting. So we just started talking about, I know several people who are very healthy and very confident and very positive and very happy with themselves, but aren't necessarily thin, skinny, don't run marathons. You know, they've got other things within them that makes them healthy and confident. I also know several, many, many people, I should say, who've gone and lost weight and done what everybody else thinks they need to do and hated it.
Yep.
And were much more comfortable regaining a little bit of the weight, finding their spot. I call it your sweet spot. Everybody has a sweet spot. You can always tell if you're unhealthy. You can always, it's not just about how your clothes fit. It's, you know, how just, it's just a thing. You can tell the way your skin is, your hair, bloatedness, you know, all of that good stuff. So you don't have to be 120 pounds.
And I know some 120 pound bitches. I just gotta say, that is not the definition of health. And mm-hmm. and health is not just about the body you're living in.
Right.
I mean, what about your financial health? Mm-hmm. What about your relational health?
Exactly.
How about, you know, do you look great in a bikini and you have, you know, 16 or 12% body fat, but you can't get along with a single person in your life. And yet some fit pros out there would mm-hmm. look at you or might even have you as clients.
Yeah.
And would think that you are awesome. But that's not what health is. If you look at what, and I think even the term wellness now is just so bastardized. It's, if you look at what it takes to make up true, you know, honest well-being, mm-hmm. yes, it has something to do with how you feed your body, but then you look at right. people who live in food deserts. Mm-hmm. What choices do they have, right?
Right.
So if you think about having access to food, having access to not just regular health care, but complementary health care, mm-hmm. right? I would say that I was not living a full-on healthy life because I had no access to health care. That was stressful for mm-hmm. me. It's what's your stress level like? What's, like I said, your financial? How do you have a support of friends or people around mm-hmm. you that you feel that you can talk to, or people that you know have your back in situations, mm-hmm. someone that you can talk to when you're down? How's your mental health?
Right.
Spiritual health. Do you have a community, whether it's a church or mm-hmm. or not, something like that, that you can feel connected to something greater than yourself?
Right.
All of those things go into your well-being. And we, you know, nothing has changed. Mm-mm. My husband and I talk about this all the time, that the same people who are spouting off whatever these fad diets are, mm-hmm. it was just called something else in the 80s.
Right.
We've been saying there's something wrong with people for decades.
Right.
Right now, we just do it in a, I don't know, maybe a more holistic way. You talk mm-hmm. about, well, do you meditate? Do you this? Really?
I mean, so I have one of my biggest problems and one of the challenges that I have with my current situation, and I, you know, until you're right in the middle of it, you don't ever really think about it. You know, all of the years that I've been teaching fitness classes and have been very healthy and have not had any issues. And in fact, I was talking to my father about this on the phone the other day because I posted something on Facebook where I talked about Facebook and Instagram, where I talked about things weighing you down and mm-hmm. letting them go so that you can fly. And currently, right now, I'm weighed down with self-inflicted negative talk about what I'm capable of doing for myself. And
we explain that. What do you mean by that?
So I've never, I think in a previous podcast, I've talked about how ever since I was young and growing up, I've never really struggled with anything. I mean, we've talked about it. You know, we've talked about the differences in our family history and our lives. I've never really struggled with anything. My family life, all of that. And so I think because I've never, things have quote unquote been fairly easy for me. Now that's not to say that everything has been super smooth and not at all, but because I always end up pulling it out of my ass and it working out, that I tend to be a little bit of a procrastinator. I tend to wait till the last minute to do stuff, knowing I'm going to be okay. And it's different than having faith in knowing things are going to work out. It's literally like, oh, you know what? Let me just push it off till the very last second, because even though it's going to kill me and I'm, you know, I'm going to have to like do it and whatever it takes, it's going to be fine. And this right here that I'm going through with my current health situation, I've not been able to do that because a lot of it has been out of my control. It's trying to find what's going on and then figure out the treatment for it or figure out how to manage it. So in that process, which I never, if you would have asked me several years ago if I would be like this, I'd be like, oh no. Oh no, my mindset is different than that. I'm always positive. I'm always, it'll work out. I'm really struggling. So when we started the podcasts and we talked about our history and we talked about each other and we talked about what we're going through, I was at such a different space, which has only been how many months ago? Cause well, you know, we're new at this whole podcasting thing. So from May to now has been a shift you know, especially lately in the last couple of months, where I felt just deflated. I felt like I just couldn't, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how to help myself. And I've never been like that, like ever been like that. So, but I think it's just that self-talk and some of the habits that I've picked up in the last couple of months in terms of, my health that are now I'm struggling to break, which we'll talk about in another episode.
We can talk now if we want.
We can talk about it however we want to do it. Yep. We just let it flow. But so I know how to help myself, and I honestly know now how to fix myself, but now I'm finding that I don't know why I'm struggling to take those steps to do it. Isn't that crazy? Like, it's crazy. So initially it was, okay, you're going through menopause. These things are happening to your body. What's going on? Let's go talk to this person. Let's do this blood work. Let's test this. Let's eat this. Let's do this. Nothing was working. You know, I know, you know, lack of sleep. I know all of that, but my lack of sleep is because of this, and I can't fix this because I don't know how to fix it. Well, now I know how to fix all of this. But actually doing it and taking the steps to do it, which I've been wanting to find out. I've been struggling all this last over a year to figure out what's going on. And I finally, and listen, Anissa is fucking looking at me like with her glasses on, like I'm sitting in my therapist's office, looking, shaking, subtly shaking her head up and down. And so who knows what's about to come out of her mouth. However, so now I finally kind of have figured out how, at least the steps to take to start moving in the right direction. And I come up with every excuse to put it off. And then I try, and then I fail. Like, and I don't know what it is, like, because I'm not like that person. I'm literally that. Okay. I got a plan. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Okay. Start it. Boom. Let's go. And now I feel like I feel like I've developed some negative habits in the last couple of months that I'm struggling to, change and that are not like me. So, I don't know what it is, but I feel like, you know, back to what we initially started talking about in this fix it thing, this, hey, if you're this way, if you fix this. So I alluded to talking to my father on the phone, and my father read the posts. Okay. And he's so funny because growing up, he, you know, don't drink alcohol and you don't have to use bad language. Why do you have to use bad language? You have, use your good words, use your positive words. And, you know, I'm being me. And so, but he doesn't say anything about the fucks and the shits and I type in my post, but he called me up and he's so sweet because every time I post something that's real and authentic about what I'm going through, he always comments and he always calls me to check on me. So he was like, you know, he's a behavioral scientist. So he like reads people. He's like, what is it? What do you think? And I said, I don't know. I came up with, well, maybe I'm afraid that once I take these steps and I start really putting action to words and thoughts, I'm afraid that it's not going to help me. Like in the end, it's not going to help me. And I said, or maybe it's just that, you know, I know I'm aging. I feel like I'm giving myself excuses as to why I can put it off and put it off and put it off. Your age, you know, you're in the second half of your life and things change and you don't have to be this way. And, you know, I know how I want to be. I know what I'm capable of. And I know,
what does that look like?
What I want to be.
Yeah. What does that vision look
like? I mean,
like?
I just want to be healthy and I want to be strong. I don't have to.
Healthy, strong. Strong. What does that mean?
You know,
because that's a broad term.
It is.
What
so
does that
for
mean
me,
for you?
For mm-hmm. me personally,
yeah.
Right now, I, in order to be healthy, and I'm not talking about being skinny and muscular and fitness and super fit, I have to lose the 30 pounds that I started, that okay. I put on. Because I don't, this is, I'm very uncomfortable in my body, very unhealthy. There are certain things, it's affecting my joints and my knees, my lower back. So there are a lot of things that it's affecting. It's hindering me from being able to even just work out like and I'm not saying normally, because my normal workouts used to be like super intense. I don't even care about that, but just to get that sweat in, just to come in and lift weights and to do the things that I actually love to do, mm-hmm. To eat healthy, to eat what, like I'm used to, vegetables and, you know, healthy protein, and managing how much I'm eating and drink. I used to drink water constantly. Do you know that yesterday I did not drink one sip of water unless it was in the cup of coffee that I had yesterday morning, and then
the Diet Coke we had,
the Diet Coke that we had, yeah, and the little bit of water that I sipped on when I was coming home from the gym last night after I taught a class. Literally, that's it. I don't even think you could. I mean, the like true water, not in the Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. And I can't even believe you fucking told everybody we drank Diet Coke.
Why?
Yesterday.
I love
know?
Diet Coke.
I know. She was fussing at me. She was like, you put more ice into it in it instead of Diet Coke.
Yeah, I got like four sips of Diet Coke. Thanks a lot, Ellen.
But anyway, so it's those things. So, you know, so I can envision myself where I want to be. I can envision mm-hmm. where I'm the most comfortable. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what's hindering me from taking the steps to get there.
Okay. So I want to go back to what you said about that you have all of the, mm-hmm. you've kind of pieced all the pieces of the puzzle mm-hmm. together. You have figured out the why mm-hmm. this may have occurred, right? And then you mentioned that when you spoke to your dad, that you had these fears
mm-hmm.
and being,
because after so, you know, so long mm-hmm. of not being able to figure it out, and now it's finally here. It's almost as if I'm scared to even try it, because then what, you know,
and
the old Ellen would have been like, well, you know what, then you figure it out. You work from there and you figure it out. It's not going to hurt anything. You know, the protocol that I have is the protocol that the doctors have given me, my holistic health coach has given me, is not crazy. I'm like, I'm not going to have to go do HIIT five times a week and, you know, drink some crazy shit. And, you know, it's nothing like that. It's actually reasonable. And it's not that I have developed such bad habits where all I'm doing is eating hamburgers and french fries every day. That's not it at all. My problem is I don't eat hardly at all. And I have this thing in my brain that tells me if you don't eat, you're not going, you know, the 30 pounds that you're carrying now is so uncomfortable for you. If you eat, you're going to put 31 pounds on. And if and because I'm not exercising like I'm used to, I'm literally just teaching class. And in class, even before all of this happened, I'm kind of a 70-30, 80-20 instructor, meaning I teach off the bike, or
right.
I coach and then, you know, 80% and do 20% enough to show them what's, you know, I'm not one of those instructors that teaches 100 during the entire hour, because if I did that, I would not be able to keep up with everybody that's in my class. But so because that's all the exercise that I'm getting in my brain, it's like, well, a pound is 3,500 calories. And if you didn't, you know, if you didn't really exercise like you normally do, then you can't have those five pieces of lettuce mm-hmm. because it's going to push you to 31 pounds.
So completely interesting, because, you know, my issue is not weight gain per
right.
se, but I have a completely unhealthy relationship with food.
And I think that's what I'm doing now, which I never
I'm not
had.
Exercising beyond the classes that I teach as hard as I try to. I occasionally get in mm-hmm. every time I've tried to start the habit. of getting back into it. I am so terrified of being exhausted that, like last night, Rob is going to the gym at like 7:45. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, I can't go to the gym right now. He actually stopped and said, hey, you want to go to the gym with me? And I looked at him. I'm like, I can't go to the gym right now. And he goes, why not? And I'm like, well, because if I go to the gym right now, then maybe I'll come home and then I won't be able to go to sleep because my core temperature will be higher. And then I've been having the hot flashes. And so I can only sleep until 1 o'clock as it is. And if I don't front load all of these fears, I mean, I literally was like terrified at the thought of going to the gym with him, that I would be exhausted.
And here's the thing.
And I used to push through everything. Ellen, exactly. I used to bulldoze through my life. Like, 4 hours of sleep, no fucking problem. I got this shit.
And what's so funny about
that? Terrified.
And what's so funny and interesting about that is, as fitness professionals, we know the benefits of getting your sweat on.
I'm going to have more energy if I all the stuff we tell people.
Yeah. And it's true.
It's totally true. Yep.
That's what's going to happen. Like, I know that if I start my routine and I get up and I go to the gym, everything else falls into place. It doesn't have to be perfect, but that's fine. But I can't seem to fucking get myself to do the very first step. Like, I start it and then I'm just like,
And it's great. And the next day I actually feel the urge to go again. And there is something in my brain that I've actually recognized that just finds a no.
And I will tell you this too. And I think this is where my thought process started with all of this, with what I've been saying lately. So I have over a year, I have had doctors and personal trainers and a nutritionist and a holistic health coach and my therapist who I started talking to a little bit because I mean, I try to talk to her when I need her, but you have all of these people in your head saying, well, this is what I see on these labs, and this is from what you're telling me, and this is what your AMA tells me, and this is what your resting metabolic assessment tells me, and this is what I see here, and this is what I see here.
And this is what worked for my friend.
So I need you to do this, and then I need you, but the other one, no, don't do that, do this. No, you know, do paleo. No, start keto. I mean, like all of this stuff in my head. Oh, go, put your electronics down at 8 p.m., meditate, do more yoga, you know, journal, like all of this stuff in my head that finally I was like, so sensory overload, tried this, that I didn't accomplish anything with any of it. I didn't stick to any of it because I started and I was like, this is fucking not for me.
Right.
And this is not working for me. So let me go over here and do this. And I was so tired. I'm so tired of, well, you've got to go walk out in the ground and in the dirt. And you've got to stop eating lectins. And you've got to, you know, I asked Anissa, I think I asked Melissa when she was here, what about lectins? I mean, like I literally do not like vegetables. I never have, ever. And I know they're good for me. And I'm a fitness instructor, and I know I should be eating them. So the handful of vegetables that I love that I don't have to douse with teriyaki sauce to get them down are all fucking lectins, tomatoes, and bell peppers. So you're telling me I can't eat them. Okay, so then I'm just not going to eat any vegetables because I don't like cauliflower. I've taught myself to eat certain things because I know they're good for me. Taught myself to eat broccoli, myself to eat kale. But I feel like if the bell peppers and the tomatoes and all of the stuff that the carrots that are high in sugar and the potatoes.
Okay, so fuck that shit.
Yeah, like,
with
seriously,
the carrots having sugar in it, it is not the same. And people who do these diets that say, well, I can't have fruit because it's sugar, it is not.
So here's
it's
the thing.
Not, it doesn't do the same thing in your
it
body.
Doesn't.
People can say that all day long, but that is God's recipe. So don't even talk to me
That's
about
exactly
that being
what
the
I
same
say.
As table sugar.
So you know what? If I need to you know, limit my amount of fruits and not eat the vegetables that I do eat because they're going to inflame my belly. Well, then, you know, I'm fucking not going to eat any of it. And I'm going to not get the benefits of the vitamins and minerals. And I'm going to, you know, say, fuck that. And so let me just eat, you know, the Twix that's sitting on my desk because
I've had it.
Because I've had it.
Yep.
So I just, I couldn't. I just can't do it anymore. Like, I just can't do it anymore. I've got, my mom is a nurse and my mom is from the Philippines and she's so amazing. She's like, just eat food. Just eat regular food. Just limit what you're eating. Don't eat, you know, portion control. And who cares if you don't sit there and agonize over what kind of vitamins are in it. Just eat, you know, eat what you want to eat. Eat a variety and drink lots of water and go exercise some. And who cares whether it's a fucking, you know, real butter or if it's bulletproof coffee or if it's, I mean, I just can't, I, and social media fucking does that to you. Oh, it, you know, put MCT oil. Oh, in my bulletproof coffee that I make every morning, I put this and I put collagen and right. I put this. Okay, by the time you buy
and then
all
that little
shit,
spritz, that little split screen on Instagram, instead of this,
yeah,
have this. It's like,
and
really?
It's like, so then by the time I, okay, so I'm going to fess up and I talk to Anissa about this all the time. I love to put Splenda in my coffee and I know Splenda is not good for me. And I know I shouldn't have it.
And what
it.
Do I say? Have the fucking Splenda.
But you know what? When I've tried to drink my one, I only have one fucking cup of coffee a day. And if I have more than that, it's usually if we're working conventions or if the first cup of coffee that I have just was a letdown. So I don't use Splenda in anything else, ever. I don't drink tea with it. I don't do anything.
And you don't drink alcohol.
I don't drink alcohol.
You don't do drugs. You don't smoke.
I don't. So for me to put, I'm not going to lie, three whole Splendas in my coffee once a day, I should, if I'm doing everything else right, which is what I used to do, if mm-hmm. I'm doing everything else right, I should be okay. Well, now do you know I fucking... Every time I put that Splenda, every time I pick it up, I feel this huge weight. You can't do this. You can't. You got to learn to drink it black. You just got to learn to drink it black. And it is the experience of it and the quality of what that one cup of coffee does for my day is completely shot to hell.
And here's the thing, like, who says? I want to know how many of those people who are advising you, how many of them drink a glass of wine a day? And say, so, oh, it's good for my heart, or are slamming tequila because they say that's good for keto, or they're drinking their keto safe vodka. And you want to tell my friend Ellen that she's wrong for putting Splenda in a ritual. Y'all, it's a ritual. And food is meant to be enjoyed as a ritual experience. And I'm not speaking, I will tell you in a minute about an experience that I had this week with myself and food, but I don't cook for myself. Like, I am not good at nurturing myself with something that's meant to be nourishing. Right. And I don't do it.
I don't do it either. I'm not a cook by nature. Like I may have mentioned, I don't like to cook. But I don't mind. So I tend to be a raw vegetable. Okay, so yeah. Then the other day, somebody comes up to my desk and I'm eating carrots and celery and sugar snap peas. And two comments. You know that your body digests cooked vegetables better than raw vegetables. And you do realize that sugar snap peas are like, you know, you should limit how much you eat. I'm like,
why?
I was like, okay, you know what? First of all, fucking step away from my desk. Second
Who
of all,
asked you.
Yeah. Second of all, this carrot was in the dirt back in paleo days and they pulled it out of the ground and they shot the dirt off of it and they fucking ate it. Okay. So if I like carrots better raw than cooked, then that's how I'm going to eat them. Don't come up to me and tell me my body digests, which may be true. I didn't say it wasn't true, but why are you talking about my food?
Why have we gotten into the place?
Before you start, this is what, as a fitness instructor, you should know
no way.
That vegetables digests in your body and absorbs the vitamins and minerals better if they're cooked than if they're raw. Literally, that was said to me.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. And I will, truth be told, my nutrition part of the whole fitness professional thing is my weakness. So I fucking had to look it up. I looked it up online and then sat there for a minute and thought, okay, could I really eat these carrots cooked if that's the case? Because right now I'm struggling and maybe this will help me. Like, that's my mentality. That's my thinking. And it's a whole other podcast, but another thing that feeds into it is my recent body shaming, where somebody told me that as a fitness instructor, I need to look a certain way.
Yep.
And so that's, now I've got that all in my mind. Now it's all in my fucking brain. It's all in my brain. As a fitness professional, I should look this way and I should eat these foods and I should exercise this much. And truth be told, and I love all of our teammates. I love them. Everybody has supported me. Our team is wonderful. But when you're standing there in a fucking meeting, you know?
Yeah.
And you used to look like that and you used to be that healthy and you're just not that anymore. It fucking sucks. It sucks so bad. And it's my brain. It's my head. It's like inside my head. It's nobody else. It's me. And so, like, I got to get rid of it. I got to get it out of my head. I got to figure it out or I'm not going to be able to help myself. I'm not. And there are a lot of nights when I'm like, just fuck it. I mean, fuck it. I know I'm supposed to put my fucking phone down at 8 p.m., but, you know, the day didn't go the way that I wanted it to be, so who cares? Like, seriously. You know, the routines and the things that used to be so ingrained in me that made my day the way that it needed to be for me to be as productive and efficient and positive as I could, they're, like, all shot to hell. Because I just, like, sometimes I just don't fucking care. And that's totally not like me. Like, it's totally not like me. But I can sit here all day long and tell you or whoever else, this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to do it, and this is what's going to be best for you. Yet I don't do it for myself. Like, it sucks. It fucking sucks.
And I just want everyone out there to stop telling Ellen. Like, you don't understand. Like, you are so much more.
And I know that. Like, I know that.
And I know that, I know how pained you are about it.
I mean, and I'm nitpicking things now. Like, I'm nitpicking things now. And one of my good friends and somebody that Brian knows really well, I'm just going to call him Michael, that Brian works with, he follows me on Facebook. He doesn't comment a whole lot, but he texted me. I showed you the text that he sent me, and it was the sweetest text of this, not really a poem. It was something one of his friends had posted, and when he read it, he thought about me because he reads. It tells me that he reads my Facebook posts, even though he doesn't comment. And I've known Michael for so long, and you know, all the things that was said, and I'll post it on, I've been meaning to post it on my Facebook and Instagram. It's like, you know, I never used to worry about how I dressed or what I look like. I was confident, self-confident myself. You know, I normally have never been one to wear a lot of makeup. You know, I just don't give I think people should be who they are. But now I nitpick every fucking thing. Everything. Every time I look in the mirror, every time I walk past a mirror, every time I walk past the mirror in the bathroom at work, I nitpick everything. And it's eating me up. Like, I cannot stop it. I can't. I don't know what to do about it. And so I tell Anissa all the time, I'm like, I need your health coach. I need your health coaching help and skills. And of course, have we talked about anything? No, because we see each other and we...
But I don't... I think people have a perspective on health coaching that's different than what I consider health coaching to be. So For me, the certification that I went through at Emory is not about advising you.
No,
I actually see, I actually view clients as having the answers already within them. And we just explore solutions that work best for them, not me tell you don't eat your carrots that way.
No, and that's ever.
That's not what health coaching is from my perspective.
That's not how I have viewed it. And I shouldn't say that I need your health coaching, because it's a little bit more than that, because of our connection and because you know what I've been going through. It's more of a, it's literally this right here. It's just this. It's just telling you what I've been going through. And I don't know when it changed, but I didn't know that it was changing until when I got the protocol on what is going on with me and what will help me get back on track, especially with my digestive issues and things like that. I have a protocol and I didn't want to start it. It's a 30-day protocol. It's nothing crazy. I'm not, you know, I mean, it's completely makes sense. I put it off because I went out of town for a week, and over that week that I was at the beach, and in fact, on my Facebook page, I posted this picture of myself laying on a float. And there's nothing weird about the photo. I'm laying on a float at the beach, and the float was I got a lot of comments about the
big
float.
Big old guitar.
Yeah, it's a big old guitar. But what you don't see, and it just looks like I'm laying on a float, just laying in the sun. What you don't see is how pained I was at that moment. You know, it was just so painful at that moment. On the beach with my family and just being so uncomfortable in my body and in, it was just a miserable moment. It was miserable. And I didn't say anything about it in the picture. I think my post was just about how people see pictures as their eyes show what's on the picture, but they don't know the true story. And so I never did. I meant to talk about the picture. And I just haven't yet. But it was, as much as I was surrounded by people that, you know, I loved and at the beach and was and having a good time, it was a very low moment for me when I saw that picture of myself. Yeah. I didn't know it was being taken.
Yeah. Yeah, because it looks like you're sleeping or something, or your eyes
are
closed.
I'm just lounging on. I think I was wearing sunglasses. I'm just lounging. There's nothing unusual about the photo. And that's when I realized, I was like, why are you so upset about this photo? Like, you never give a shit about that. What is going on? And
so what do you think's going on? What is going on?
I just feel, I think in the beginning of our podcast, I feel like a fraud, and I feel like I'm not doing everything I possibly can do to help myself right at this moment. And I'm not, because I just am tired of it. I'm just fucking tired of it. But in order to progress, I have to put action. So I was reading, I can't even remember the book I was reading. I do this thing. I don't know if you all do this, but when I need guidance, I will talk to the universe and I'll say, God, I need help. I just need help. And it could be you texting me all of a sudden saying, hey, you want to talk? Or it could be me listening to some song with some lyrics, or I could 2 hours later come across something. It's weird. And it may sound crazy, but it works for me. So I do this thing where,
like that's going to sound crazy to me.
I do this thing where, if I just need something motivational, I have stacks and stacks of motivational self-help books at my house, and I don't do Kindles. I have to have the book. I'll just go pick a book, sometimes randomly, sometimes one of my favorites, and I'll just like open it and I'll read what's on it. And I'm not kidding you all, it every single time.
It's something.
So I did it, whatever that day, and it said, people talk. It's almost that you talk the talk, but you now you need to walk the walk. So it was something about it's easy to talk and it's easy to think. It was mainly about thoughts. How important is thoughts versus action? You know, and you can talk to the talk and you can think whatever it is that you need to think. But until you take action, it's not, you're not going to start taking those steps. You're not going to start.
You're stuck.
You're stuck. So I've been thinking about that a lot, you know, taking action. Like, it's one thing to say, oh, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up tomorrow. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. And, oh, I've got my meal preps. I'm going to do this. But until you actually take the steps to do it, it's just talk, right? You're just thinking about it. And
they actually talk about that in change psychology, that there are actually the stages of change. And you can be in what's called pre-contemplation.
Right.
You can be in contemplation, right? You can be, there are stages of change. Mm-hmm. And if you're not at the stage of change where you actually are ready to take action, then it doesn't matter what you put in front of you. That you have to back down from that. So maybe, you know, I'll give you a good example. So when I was taking my national boards, which I passed, so I'm a nationally board certified health and wellness
coach. I know, that's awesome.
So I passed through, took the medical boards just like doctors do or whatever. And when I was in the study group that we were in, one of the ladies who, so she works in corporate wellness.
Right.
And she was actually talking about a client that she had who was a truck driver, and he was a, had been smoking for a bazillion years, right? Had, obviously he sits all day long 'cause he's a, you know, truck driver.
Right.
And he was sent to her because their company had, you know, penalties for if you were a smoker that you had to pay more for your medical insurance and stuff like that. So part of the ways to, I guess, either earn points or whatever their system was for him to be able to not pay as high of a premium had to do with meeting with a coach.
Oh, so here she was
the coach. Lots of places do that. So, well, it's cool, except for when you don't want to change,
right,
when you're not at that state of change, you're not ready for it. So his first words that he said to her was, I am not going to quit smoking. And she said, okay,
okay,
you're not going to quit smoking. That's fine. But we've got 20 minutes together. You know, what else would you like to maybe work on? You know, and everything was, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to whatever it was. Well, he also drank nonstop, I guess, either regular Mountain Dew or Diet Mountain Dew in the big 20 liters and a smoker and drove car. And he had health risks. He had high blood pressure, you know, on medications, lots of different stuff. So the cigarette smoking was off the table.
Right.
He had said that right away. And he said, you know, well, I guess I could probably cut back a little bit on how much I drink for Mountain Dew. And so, okay, okay, great. So they go through what the coaching process is, where she's, you know, doing motivational interviewing, which is, you know, asking open-ended questions, giving him a chance to explore his own solutions. Right. So what they came up with for the very first thing that he would attempt at behavior change is when he was drinking his Diet Cokes or his Mountain Dews, he would leave one swallow left and throw it away.
And throw it away.
So they started with that. And then he would meet with his coach again the next week. And then that became two swallows. Then it became, I'm only going to drink three a day versus four. Well, then not only am I going to only drink three, now my fourth one is going to become a bottle of water. Well, these are all solutions that he's come up with. She is not telling him, you need to give up the Diet Mountain Dew and you need to quit smoking and you're unhealthy and this is wrong with you and this is how we fix you and this is the way it goes. Well, on the course of the year and a half that she coached him, not only did he stop drinking Mountain Dew completely, he quit smoking. He was happy in his marriage. He came off medications. His entire life changed because she never pointed a finger at him and said, you have to change.
And I think that's why, you know, all of the buzzing in my head from all of these people
I mean, medical doctors are one thing, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that you go in there, but I think it's them, you know, if you think about it, on the one hand, there are a lot of people that are like, okay, if you give me a plan, I will follow it to a T, and that's great. But I think my buy-in comes from, you know, coming up with solutions on my own and taking ownership for it instead of having somebody do that for me. And I think that's part of my thing. And I've got to figure out what I need for myself before I will buy into it and start, you know, whatever it is that I need to do. Right now, there are certain points in the last year or so where it's just been so confusing. Okay, well, I was told to do this. And then there are some things that are just ridiculous. Like, I mean, just seriously, like how many types of vitamins and minerals and how many types of supplements and how many, you know, you can't completely get rid of everything at one time. Like my Splenda story. I mean, you're asking me to go to one cup of black coffee with nothing in it and then eat all vegetables and a little bit of protein and completely cut out sugar. So the hardest thing is the whole sugar thing. And I know that sugar is the devil. You know, I mean, we all know sugar is the devil, but to completely go cold turkey and not eat sugar and take some of the things that make your quality of life the way that it is, like Splenda, which I don't think is terrible, compared to like eclairs and Twix bars and things like that. But I have it in my mindset that it's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
Or it's just not going to work. And then if it's not perfect, then fuck that. I'll just start tomorrow. And that's when my procrastinated native nature kicks in. And part of it also is that, you know, I know that once I start and once I get focused, it won't take, I'll be great. But I think I've, in that mindset, in that time frame, I've developed habits that are now difficult to break.
Stay tuned for part 2 of Change in Habits.